You are listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined this week in our women's segment by the head coach of the Quinnipiac, I guess we'll call them the Lady Bobcats. Is that correct? Cassandra Turner is our guest. Cassandra, welcome to the show. And so far, a pretty good start, particularly with that non-conference start that you got off to. I guess my first question is, a perfect 9-0 against Hockey East non-conference. A couple of questions, actually. One, when are the Hockey East teams going to stop scheduling you? And two, are you aware of the fact that, checking the numbers, you'd be in first place by a long, long distance right now in Hockey East? Unfortunately, you're playing in the ECAC right now.
Yeah, you know, well, we're pretty happy with where we sit right now. I think for us, you know, all of those games outside our conference, we know are going to be really important. Of course, our team has aspirations of playing in the NCAA tournament. And I know the girls are always really dialed in when we're playing those out of league games, because we know in ECAC hockey, there's going to be some wild nights. Anyone can beat anyone in our league. And so we want to be able to control what we can and hopefully put ourselves in a good position, which our girls have really done a nice job of so far this year.
Well, just the success to build off, actually incorrect, 8-0 overall, truth be told, a perfect 9-0 non-conference. All of that to prepare you for the rigors of playing in this ECAC. And as someone that's been around this league for a while, case in point, the fact that not only as a head coach, but your previous as an assistant associate head coach at Quinnipiac, could you ever imagine, I've been asking this question, it seems like every week of the coaches, that a league could get to this point in terms of the just amazingly how competitive and such a high level, night in and night out, weekend in and weekend out. It's just staggering when I look at some of the numbers of this league from week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are so proud to be a part of the ECAC. And, you know, you think about the student athletes that come to our league, and there are so many high achievers. They want to accomplish big things. One of the things that I take a lot of pride in from a league standpoint is just how much better our teams get every year. And to see how prepared our groups are when we hit the NCAA tournament, I think because of the rigors of our league, because of preparing for two different opponents every weekend, when you hit that opportunity to play two different teams in an NCAA tournament situation, we know how to manage that. We know how to manage that intensity of two really tough games. And you know, I think that's just so important for our league to have that. We know what it's going to take. We're battle tested when it's time.
Indeed, battle tested. And currently, you've navigated the ECAC weekends 5-3. And most recently, after the Colgate-Cornell weekend, a couple of victories, playing a couple of teams there close to home. I had the situation of playing in the Nutmeg Classic. They may rename that the Bobcat Classic at this point, I guess. You've dominated that tournament. Me being around Boston University, when BU was dominating the tournament, they said, why don't they just call it the BU Invitational? Well, I'm going to say the Nutmeg Classic. Let's make it the Quinnipiac of the Bobcat. Fourth straight title. So you're a perfect 8-0, and you've outscored opponents 26-9. This is a tournament that has been very good to your team, and I would suspect this really comes at a time where you can build momentum now, where you've got almost exclusively an ECAC schedule to navigate.
Yeah, our team loves playing in the Nutmeg. They actually call it the Nutty, I've learned. I didn't know that until recently. Yeah, Nutty. but they love it, you know. And it was a tough weekend of games. You know, UConn is an incredibly disciplined team. They're hard to play against. You know, what they do incredibly well. And, you know, we got some great goaltending all weekend, especially in that second game against Yale. Logan Andrews with the shutout. She's a veteran player. She's a sixth-year hockey player in our program. And she's calm. She's composed and wants to win. So it was a great weekend. You're right. And leading into ECAC play, you know, we need these points. We don't love where we sit right now, being 5-3 in conference play. But I think for us, knowing that, you know, we were able to get 3 points out of Cornell on the road, and now we're able to play those games at home against Clarkson St. Lawrence and Colgate Cornell in the second half, we certainly learned a lot about what we need to get better at from those games. And I think these are going to be three really important conference games we have coming up with Union RPI and then Princeton next weekend.
Mentioned about Angers and 68 saves to claim that MOP, most outstanding player. To give us some insight about her as a goaltender. I mean, I've done the research. I haven't seen her play. Some goaltenders, they're more technical. Some are more athletic. You want the combination of one that's both. But describing her as a goaltender and how she makes you probably sleep much easier at night as a coach.
Yeah, she gives you confidence, that's for sure. She's calm and composed in moments when other goalies aren't. She manages traffic incredibly well. It's remarkable how, you know, she'll be there, be a ton of traffic. All of a sudden she catches the puck and you're like, how did she see that? How did that happen? You know, she was a softball player, you know, growing up and well as a hockey player. So I think those moments come to help her. She played on the softball team here at Quinnipiac last spring as well. And May again this spring. So She's a very technical goalie and she's calm and that's an amazing combination. You know, she just really makes you feel comfortable as a team that she'll be there for you when you need her.
The balance that you have right now offensively, Cassandra, just amazing. Especially this early in the season, you've been 17 games, about halfway, but spread around nicely. 8 players with 12 points. You've got 9 players that have at least 5 goals. I would suspect that when opponents are preparing for you, pick your poison. Who do you stop? How do you stop them? Another great asset that you have here moving forward, night in and night out, that offense can come from just about anywhere.
Yeah, you know, we've tended to have that balanced approach to our attack. You know, I think last year we had over 10 people over 20 points, and it, you know, it's a nice thing for us. You know, we talk a lot about putting people in positions to make the next line have a better shift than the one that you had. Like, how are you finishing that shift? And how can we build from one opportunity to the next? Even if we don't score, how do we build momentum and recognize that momentum for the next line? And, you know, they have this team mentality and they really care about helping one another out. And I think that's why we see that balanced attack. But the piece that we're excited about as well is just having our D such a big part of our offense. You know, we have two defensemen that are in our top 3 in points right now. And a lot of the people who are stepping up and making plays for us in big moments are players who are in their 4th year, their 5th year. And we have a lot of experience through our lineup. So that's been really helpful for us.
Couple of other players that made the all-tournament team, Cooper and Sadie Pert. She's right now among your leaders with 20 points right at the top of the score sheet. And also, once again, the balance, Katie Riley, 6-game point streak. You got a lot of contributors. Nina Steigoff, I hope I pronounced that right. She got a goal in each game, so she contributed for you. And a name that I saw that I was familiar, Julie Neris, that had 2 goals for you.
Yeah, they're all fantastic offensive players. You know, Sadie Peart, she does everything for us. You know, one of our alums was at our game on Friday night and she joked, she's like, you know, you got Sadie off the ice and you got right back out on the ice. And in all the big moments, it seemed like she didn't come off the ice in the last 2 minutes of the game because she wins faceoffs for us. She PK, it was one of our best penalty killers. She's our top centerman. She does it all, you know, and she's just been outstanding. Whoever plays with Sadie plays better. She's one of those players that just compliments everyone around her. And she's been like that since her first year at Quinnipiac. And Kendall Cooper, you know, offensive defenseman for us. She scored an outstanding 4-on-4 goal. That just the confidence and to be able to beat a defender 1-on-1 from our offensive blue line, you know, a little escape move and went in and beat the goalie, you know, against Yale was awesome. And, you know, Kate Riley has an outstanding shot. Nina Steigoff, outstanding release. And Julia Neris has really, she keeps growing, you know, she just keeps getting better game to game. For her to score 2 goals against UConn was excellent. And she's a playmaker. She's so good at protecting the puck, manages the puck incredibly well. So, you know, we're excited with those players and where they sit right now.
And with players that you brought in, you know, the transfer portal, we talk about it, but veteran presence and just identifying the right players. And I know from a coaching standpoint, it's not just what they can bring you on the ice, but what they're going to, the intangibles, the people that they are that come in and how they're going to be able to assimilate to your culture. And it sounds like you've identified some good ones.
Yeah, yeah. Julia is definitely, I've been watching Julia play since she was young, and she's always been a big moment player. You know, she's somebody you can rely on to be there for you. She made the play that helped us to win the game in overtime against UNH. And she's an outstanding playmaker, which is excellent. But Emerson Jarvis has been an awesome pickup for us too, as a transfer from Ohio State. She keeps getting better with every game she plays. You don't see her as much on the score sheet yet, but when you watch us play, she's one of our fastest players, and she's relentless on the puck. And she's somebody who I'm excited about for this second half of the year. She's only a sophomore, didn't get to play as much as she would have wanted last year. And so she's really kind of turning into that second semester and gaining momentum. So we're excited about her as well.
I'm going to give you a little coaching advice right now, if you don't mind, if I should be so bold. As you were talking about Sadie, I'd say at this point in my life, I have flashbacks. And I was thinking about the year that we had Jack Eichel at BU. And people asked Dave about, you know, what a great coaching job. He said, well, he says, actually, during the year, it was only three words. Jack, are you tired? So it sounds like you're employing the same coaching, if I should be so bold, the same coaching philosophy with Sadie. Are you tired? And if the answer is no, get back out there.
Yeah. She does a lot for us, that's for sure.
Looking at, once again, what you got coming up and wrapping up the semester, obviously some key games. And just to give a perspective of your program, you really had a breakout year 2 years ago and even surpassed that last year. And just some of the elements that have brought this program to such a high level with the company that you keep, Cassandra, just some insider perspective as to what you've done to build this. I mean, it's something that should be acknowledged. I mean, you've 9 years with the program prior to now being the head coach for 8 years. I mean, you've really been invested. I mean, the roots in Hamden, Connecticut, and what you've done to build on the women's side, and with the men's side, did win a national championship with Rand last year. I mean, it's almost like Hamden, Connecticut has become one of the college hockey capitals around the country right now, both the men's and the women's side. It's an amazing combination, confluence right now.
Yeah, for good reason. You know, there's a lot of things that we share with the men. We are both so well supported by the university. You know, we're very, very fortunate that Quinnipiac has made hockey a priority here. And there's no doubt this is a hockey school. I always joke, we do care about school too, but this is a hockey school, you know.
Careful. Kids,
yeah, right. I know. Kids who students who enjoy watching hockey games come to Quinnipiac to watch games. You know, I was in the stands at a men's game and I'm walking by and I was talking to this young woman and she's like, yeah, you know, my dad played in the NHL and it turns out it was Joe Neuendijk's daughter.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that gives you a sense of people who love hockey end up at Quinnipiac just as regular students. So that support from our campus community, from our president, from our athletic administration, it has been awesome. But, you know, I am so fortunate that that's allowed me now to hire phenomenal people. We have, you know, everyone's heard about our strength coach, Brijesh Patel, after the men won the national championship, because he got some of the credit that he should get. You know, he has pushed these programs to such great heights. And, you know, I look at my immediate staff with, you know, Brent Hill joined us a couple of years ago. Amanda Alessi has been with me since I started. And we were able to add Sydney Roosler as our third coach and also director of operations, who played for us. Her husband is playing in the AHL and she's here with us, and she was a captain, played for Team Canada. So I have an amazing staff, you know, people who are some of the best in the business. And that is what has put this program in a position where we can recruit great people. You know, you have great people here, they attract great people, and they have helped to build a pretty phenomenal culture. So I feel very fortunate to be a part of such a great university and organization.
Indeed. And who better than you, I might ask, and I'm going to ask, to give some insight and perspective about where women's hockey is at right now. The fact that you're Brown 03, played in the ECAC, played in the Ivy League, now fast forward to where it is now, just a little bit of a compare and contrast to give us an idea, your experience, your experience in Canada, the fact that, you know, I was looking at your bio and it looked almost like a bio on the men's side. You played in Peterborough, you played in Scarborough, you know, growing up, you had a junior hockey background, which is not akin to the United States, where really, particularly at that time, was just grounded more in the prep schools than anywhere. to send players to places like Brown or Harvard or wherever. But as you look at it now, I would suspect it's been a pretty amazing journey to see, here I am quoting the Hoot again, to get from from where it is now, where it is then, to where it is now, Cassandra. It's been remarkable.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, my first year at Brown, we went to the national championship, but we weren't NCAA sanctioned yet. We were still AHCA and AWHCA, and we were playing in Boston, and I remember that. And you know, it was still a pretty cool event, but we were not an NCAA sport. And so, man, that makes me sound really old. But you know, to look at,
I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, back then, like it's. We had so many players for years that played only boys hockey. And then their first experience playing women's hockey was in college. And now you see so many people who grow up not just playing girls hockey their whole life, but they play girls hockey with female coaches and female role models who, you know, are showing them what is possible. You know, to have now a new professional league, to have NCAA hockey be so accessible and be able to watch it. And, you know, I think it's just growing our game exponentially. Little girls have something to look forward to. They have something to look to. And because of all of that, the skill level has improved remarkably. And it's just amazing to see. You know, I used to sometimes joke that we were hockey players. We weren't always athletes when I played. And now it's, you know, they're athletes first and then we have hockey players. You know, I think just the ability to play the game at speed and the high skill level is amazing in college hockey. We've come such a long way.
My final question, I've been around. Well, I was around one coach for, he shall remain nameless, for about four decades. My second father, because he treated me a lot like my first father, not well, but I was around him for a long time. Very superstitious man, Coach Parker. I'm going to ask you, superstitious coach, certain things, rituals, things you got to do, things that have to be in place, how you get dressed, what you eat, whatever. What about you, Cassandra? I'm curious.
I'm so not superstitious. It makes me really unfun. I think I was like taught to not believe in those things because then they just send you all in the wrong direction. But there are certain things that we do as a staff in order and things, but it doesn't bother me if it doesn't go the right way. I try to avoid that stuff. I don't want to like send myself over the edge about things that really don't matter too much. But yeah, try to stay away from superstitions.
Probably better off, and you probably don't make people uncomfortable around you if anything is out of place. You know,
right.
It's good philosophy. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And best of luck. You've got the Capital District opponents await this weekend with Union and RPI, and hopefully a strong finish to the semester and down the road for the second half of the year.
Excellent. Thank you.
Cassandra Turner, our guest, head coach of the Quinnipiac Lady Bobcats here. This week on Inside ECAC Hockey. Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined on the men's side as we continue to profile our coaches around the ECAC. In his second season, we have Josh Howgie from the Union. I got to get that new nickname now, right? The Garnett Chargers, correct? There you go.
Correct. Yep.
Yes. Absolutely. No more Dutchmen. The Dutchmen need not apply. We bring Josh in here once again, second year with the Union program as the head coach. Coach, welcome to the show. Great to have you here. And I'm always fascinated by, let us say, the learning curve of coaches that come to the head coaching job. I remember talking to you last year, and as many coaches, you've got an extensive background. The time you spent as an assistant at Clarkson, USHL preparing for the college ranks, the North American Hockey League. But how goes the education, if you will, the education of the young head coach in his second year in terms of taking a look and assessing where you are and maybe some of the things that you didn't anticipate and maybe some things that might have thrown you off track and how you've gotten back on track? I'm always very interested in that.
Well, I think last year was just such a whirlwind from – you know, trying to get a staff together to, you know, throw in recruits together. And, you know, we kind of got hit by, you know, the transfer portal and different things where we weren't, you know, necessarily, you know, prepared as much as you want to be. And the fact that we didn't, you know, didn't have a summer to put everything together. And this year it's been much smoother. You know, we have a game plan. We have some structure to what we're trying to do. I think everybody knows their responsibilities, and you know, I just think we're more comfortable as a staff. So I think we're definitely more comfortable in that sense. There's still things from dealing with alumni to, you know, the academics that you have to deal with, to just, you know, where there's so many things that just come up as a head coach that you think you're aware of as an assistant, but you're really not until you get in that situation.
And as far as what you did last year coming in, once again, a little bit under the gun in your first year to come in, it's always daunting. But you look at the body of work, and I went back and took a look. 14 wins last year with 12 Baker's dozen. I think you had like 13 newcomers on the team last year. And one of the things that you established was a really solid record at Achilles Arena. You had 11 home wins and home sweet home there for you. Friendly confines have proved to have an identity for your team. So overall, when you look back to achievement last year and the first year, do you feel good about what the base you put in place for this season?
Well, I think so. I thought we figured out what we need to do to be successful. And, I really just love the group of leaders we have. And I think they started that last year, and really in the spring term, they took ownership of the hockey team and, you know, trained extremely hard as a group. And, you know, we take a lot of pride playing at our home rink. It's, you know, it's a loud building. It's our building, and we love it. And I think that we try to protect it the best we can. So I just really think the guys do a good job of playing at home. And again, I give a ton of credit to our leadership group, because they've really got this thing headed in the right direction.
This past weekend, you swept Stonehill, a newcomer to Division One, handled business there, 5-2 victory, and then a 4-0 shutout, and really limited chances. I mean, it looked like structurally you really played well to limit to just 33 shots. Well, you had a shotless period in one of the games, which is always, I think, pretty remarkable. But once again, in terms of what you did this weekend and now looking forward to getting back into ECAC play, your preparation and what you take from last weekend now to bring forward.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Friday night you looked at it. We didn't give up a shot until the 10-minute mark of the second period. So that was, you know, something that, you know, for us was, you know, we're trying to, you know, be better with our just our overall defending and not giving up easy chances. I think when we've struggled this year, we've just mismanaged the puck and, you know, made some just sort of young defensive decisions and, you know, tried to clean that up. You know, overall, I thought it was a good step for us. This is the first time we've actually swept the weekend in our year and a half here. So that was great. We've won 2 in a row, but never in the same weekend. So I think it's a big step for the program. And then, you know, I think that we're just at that spot right now that we're on the cusp of being, you know, we want to take another step. And that's what we have to do. Like, this is going to be a tough weekend at home here. We have Princeton and Quinnipiac, two really good hockey teams, and we got to be at our best to continue and to build.
It takes time for a coach taking over a program, obviously, to have his players, to have his team, to have guys in his image. How far along there in terms of the recruiting, how you'd assess the recruiting and really bringing in essentially your first class? You had 13 newcomers a year ago, but really to be able to plant the flag and establish a foundation with this most recent recruiting year.
Well, I think the thing that gets overlooked a lot here is that when the players that are in the current locker room become our players, that's when we really, I think, take a step. And I think we actually have that now with our senior class, like that group. You know, I think there is, you know, a learning curve, and they had to learn that they can trust our staff and that we really care about them, and that we're, you know, in it for their best interest. And we're not just looking for the next recruiting class to they take their spot. I think we finally reached that point where, you know, there's a healthy respect between those guys that were recruited by someone else and our staff to know that like we love that senior class right now. You look at what those forwards are doing and Nathan Kelly on the back end, but like they're all contributing. They're all valuable pieces to what we're doing. And, you know, we're really excited about the first class we're able to sign to NLIs here, you know, a couple weeks ago, and just the overall direction we're trending, but we're really excited about the group we have in our locker room right now.
And as far as the current team balance, I always look at balance in terms of how things are spread around. Through 11 games right now, Josh, you have 7 players that have 8-plus points. So that's not a bad number to have in terms of being able to cause a threat to the opposition from a number of different areas. Just to give us some insight about the forward lines, Smedsrud's got, I know he's got 5 and 9 to lead you, but you've got guys like Korpi, who was one of the selections for Player of the Week recognition in the ECAC. Several others there that have villages that have been pretty influential for you. But your overall assessment there in terms of how you got that spread around to be able to threaten from different areas.
Well, we feel like we have to win with depth, and that's, you know, a way for us to have success is that we're going to play four lines. We're going to keep, you know, kind of just coming in waves. And, you know, I you know, when we've had a couple guys out with injuries, we've been able to have guys step in and, you know, just kind of have that next man up mentality. But, you know, Carter Korpi is a guy who, you know, you mentioned he's had some, you know, a big weekend for us. He's playing with Ben Tupker and Jacob Jeanette, and that line has been a, you know, a heavy, hard line. And then, you know, we have, you know, Caden Villegas, Nate Hanley, and Brandon Beer. That's more of a little bit of a skill line. So, you know, all four lines for us bring a little bit something different. And I think that's why we've been able to have some success, and they've all been able to have success in different ways.
And describe what John Prokop brings to you. All situations, 14 points. He's a +3. He was another Player of the Week selection. Really seems to be building off of a very impactful freshman year and taking it to another level. Does he have a couple of other levels that he can get to?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's just scratching the surface of what kind of player he can be. And, you know, for us, he's kind of the, you know, the guy who stirs the drink for us. He, again, you mentioned it, but he plays in all situations. He kills penalties. He quarterbacks a power play. He, you know, plays hard minutes for us. He plays minutes where we need him to score. Yeah, he's kind of that guy for us. He's long. He's athletic. He's got a big ceiling. And like I said, he can do it in a lot of different ways.
And you talked about getting the sweep this past weekend for the first time. I guess the nature of the beast here, the competitiveness of the ECAC, which you're familiar with going back to the time of the Claxton, and it has been you split with RPI, split in the North Country, now another weekend to come. But those sweeps are hard to come by in league play in terms of the grind from Friday to Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's been something for us that we just haven't been able to figure out, and that's a focal point for us. I mean, obviously you want to go on, give yourself a chance for a sweep on Saturday, but you know, it starts with that game on Friday, and then you got to protect that win by coming back with a solid performance on Saturday. And it was good for us to get that. Now we got to try to do that in league play. And I mean, it's going to be a difficult task this weekend.
Special teams and goaltending often determine your assessment with your special teams to this point. And I know that the power play, you had a goal off of PK this past weekend. You had a power play goal, timely goal, but where you're at there in terms of the development and the trust level you have.
Yeah, I think our power play, when you look at it, we're at 20% right now. And if you take out the first four games of the year, I think we're, you know, right around 35%. So we've really been, you know, playing well on the power play. It's an area right now where if we get one, we feel like we're going to score, and the guys have a lot of confidence with it. And, you know, the penalty kill for us has been a strength all season. I think we're currently first in the country on the penalty kill, and you know, an area where we take a ton of pride.
That's right. I saw that was what, like 93% right now. Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
They've done a great job. They try to have a culture of toughness, and I think it's an area where, you know, for us, we want to be, you know, connected and play with tenacity, and I think you've seen that from our guys.
And a goal, Kyle Chauvet has been really been an Iron Man for you. He's played, not quite, but a lot of the minutes and has all the decisions, 6 and 5.
Yeah, he's been solid for us. He's, you know, last season played, you know, some games and got the experience. And then this year's kind of been thrust into the starting role. And, you know, for the most part, he's given us a chance every single night. And when he's had some nights where maybe it hasn't went his way, it's been because we've kind of hung him out to dry. And, you know, we have, you know, 6 freshmen and sophomore D that, you know, are, you know, playing a lot of minutes for us. And when you have that, sometimes you might make some young mistakes back there. And that's been an area that we've kind of cleaned up of late.
I've been talking to college hockey coaches for decades, Josh, and it always comes back to that. You got to find 6 good ones you can trust back there. And when you're playing the freshmen and sophomores, just being able to deal with the mistakes and allow them to come along and just be able to develop.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, for us, like when we talk to players in the recruiting process, like we want to be a spot where you can come in and make a mistake and learn and grow. And, you know, we're not going to put you on the bench. If you make a mistake, you're going to, you know, we're going to talk to you about it. We're going to hold you accountable, but we're going to, you know, let you play through those mistakes. And that's what we've kind of done with those, you know, our freshmen and sophomores. And I think that's why you're kind of seeing them have the success they're having.
I got to ask you this also as a Minnesota guy, with the proliferation now of Division I programs in Minnesota. They just added St. Thomas. You're going to run out of players. You're not going to run out of lakes there with 10,000. I'm like, you probably take a long look at Minnesota to get players. Why wouldn't you look to get players out of there with the way that they're on the rosters now and filling the rosters of all those Minnesota programs? It's amazing to me to see how that phenomenon has gotten to even a greater level.
Yeah, I mean, it's an area they have a great model, and it just, you know, starting with, you know, how their youth hockey and just how you can play so many teams in such a, you know, such a small area. And, you know, they just continue to develop talent, and, you know, it's definitely going to be an area for us that we continue to look at.
Absolutely. Well, you go there and there won't be a language barrier. You can speak Minnesota.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's just funny all the connections you have when you go back, and, you know, we'll be back in a couple weeks here and watching some high school games.
Indeed. You get to the connection and the schedule. But my gosh, the schedule, it's welcome to the National League schedule you're going to have coming up. I couldn't believe it. I had to do a double take as I was checking things out. You mentioned about Princeton and Quinnipiac. You got Maine at home. Maine's been one of, I think, the most pleasant surprise teams. You can see them coming. I mean, I'm covering with Hockey East. I can see that Maine's kind of on the rise, maybe rising even further than a lot of people thought. But you stay in Hockey East and go up to Vermont. You got a 5-game, 8-day stretch. I mean, that's like an NHL type of stretch there with the trip up to the Gut in Vermont. That'll be, I think you'll find out a lot about your team over that 8-day period in terms of coming out on the other side of it.
Yeah, you know, we had the off weekend before Stonehill, so kind of nice here to just kind of focus on hockey. Our guys right now are on break. We don't have to worry about academics. Kind of put that to bed with finals last week. And, you know, now it's time just to be a hockey player. And, you know, no better time of the year than right now, right before we, you know, play this stretch and then we get our Christmas break. So it should be a lot of fun and some, you know, like you mentioned, some tough challenges.
Indeed, tough challenges ahead. And best of luck being able to navigate that path coming up here before you get to a semester break and get back at the end of the month. Josh, all the best, though. We appreciate you coming on and joining us here this week.
No, this is outstanding. Really appreciate it very much.
Josh Howgie, our guest, head coach of Union, and joining us here, coach's profile on the men's side this week inside ECAC.
Thank you for listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett. Follow ECAC Hockey on social media at ECAC Hockey across all platforms.